The Volume.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jenkins and Jones is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. Tons of reasons why I love betting the NFL on FanDuel Sportsbook. It's America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, it's fast, safe, and secure, and it has fast payouts as quick as 2 hours. There's also so many bet types, including same-game parlay bets, live betting, player props, and futures. FanDuel is making it easy for everyone to bet this season, with a bunch of promotions that they'll be sharing all season long on our podcast. If you've been listening along, you've heard a lot of those. There's risk-free bets and same-game parlay bets, enhanced odds markets, and more. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now and sign up with promo code JANJ so they know we sent you. That's J&J. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, or West Virginia. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. See full terms and conditions at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Wednesday, November 17th, or it's Thursday, November 18th, and we've got a jolly good show for you today.
Jolly good? Is that what we're doing right now?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a jolly good show on the Volume. As always, Jenkins and Jones is hosted by my real life pals and internet pals, LeJethro Jenkins, aka John.
What's that, Bubbas?
Dragonfly Jones, aka Tyler.
Hey, everybody, how's it going?
And I'm Guardy B, aka Mike. And
started off with John D. McDonald.
And
let's talk about Big Bubbas.
And we're
the inventor of Bubbas. Bubbas, nigga. Yeah.
We got our favorite feedback that we get on the podcast since we've joined the Volume.
Alabama fan. A man from Alabama couldn't believe a black person said nigga. He'd only seen white people. It was very disrespectful to him. It was gross. I can't believe a black man is saying nigga.
He was taken aback.
15 seconds, it should have took 5.
Dude, he was upset. Dude. He said 10 seconds in and I hear the N-word barf emoji.
Right. Come on. How offended was he? Oh my God. Come on, G. I love it, though. It means we're on the right path. I was so happy when I saw that. I was elated. Thank God John D. McDonald doesn't fuck with Jenkins and Jones. Oh, we went, oh, we took a wrong, we took a left, but we should have took a right, nigga. You feel me? Thank you, John D. McDonald. You're my North Star. You're my South Star, nigga. How about that? I'm going the opposite way of you, motherfucker. Thank God.
It is one of those, like, I wish you could convey to these people. And you said it when you quote tweeted him, like, I saw that and immediately screenshot it and sent it to the group chat. And it's like, great. Hey, great news, guys.
Right. I jumped on Twitter so excited. You have no idea how grateful I am for you. How happy we all are that you don't fuck with us. You know what I mean? I should thank you. Thank you genuinely. I honestly was thankful for that. You know what I mean? I looked at this picture. I'm like, yes. High fives from all over the nation, dog. Fuck you mean? John D. McDonald? You know what I mean? Fuck
you look
here.
Like Cam Newton after. Did you see the video of Cam Newton running around the whole stadium doing a high five line around the entire ring? That was you after you saw
We're
that
back!
Tweet.
We're back. Yes. You know, I spent 9 years in Alabama. I know a bunch of John D. McDonald's and fuck all of them. You know what I mean? So you feel me? We bid you adieu, my dear friend.
Too sweet for this world.
John D. McDonald.
Not to be confused with the other John McDonald.
You're right, you feel me? Know. With all 12 of them that he knows specifically. Fuck out of here.
May the Lord carry him now. All right. Let's talk about
that was great.
Let's talk about let's talk about buildings and
the good and stuff. Exciting stuff.
The gajillion dollar corporations putting another stake in everyone my age in Southern California's childhood. The Staples Center will become the crypto.com center. It's like difficult for me to even finish the sentence. The crypto.com center. Let's go to the crypto. Hey, if you catch the Lakers game.
If you guys want to jump on staples.com, they have Hammer Hill paper for $7.99.
Bro.
The Staples Center? There are literally two chairs on the top of the fucking, you know, $100 rolling chairs. What the fuck? Why did you do? How did it become the Staples Center? That's the question.
Tyler had a tweet to this effect as well. Yeah, go ahead, Tyler.
Yeah, it's been the Staples Center since what, 99, I think. Like,
yes,
it had a way longer run than most, you know, arena naming rights contracts go for the most part. It what, 22 fucking years? We usually see shit flip flop 5-6 years. You know what I mean? But I completely get the whole attachment to, you know, it being Staples Center because, you know, that's the house that Kobe and Shaq built. But bro, it's Staples. It is a fucking office supply chain. Like, you had to have known, for one, that it was going to be renamed sooner or later. And two, fucking arena names are stupid to begin with. So I can understand being attached to it because, like I said, it's the house Kobe and Shaq built. But I think that this just stamps it even more that was Kobe and Shaq's era. That was their place. You know what I mean? And now we're moving forward. So I don't think that it erases Kobe and Shaq. I think it cements them even further as the Staples Center being their era.
Mike's mad is not the Swing Line Center. It's not the Office Max Center. Is that what you want?
Yeah, would you have had this much attachment?
CVS Center. Like, what would you have had, go there with it?
Would you have had this much attachment if it was named the Office Depot Center back in 99?
No, because that doesn't sound like, you know what I mean?
The Staples Center doesn't sound good either. It was just Kobe and fucking Shaq doing numbers in there that was great. And that doesn't erase anything,
I actually disagree with you that it doesn't sound good. If you consider the business is fucking lame. Absolutely. I don't know that I've ever been inside of a Staples office center or whatever. You know what I mean? But you would not say, let's go to the office. Whereas it's always been referred to as Staples since it opened. Like, oh, I was courtside at Staples. You know what I mean? Like, let's go to Staples to see Kobe and Shaq. And for me, for people in our generation who grew up in Southern California, you knew that the Lakers were this historic franchise. And I went to games at the Forum, but that was not our history. Like Magic Johnson got AIDS when I was a kid, like a little kid. You know what I mean? And so, or got HIV, excuse me. What?
He also was really good at basketball.
I know, but I'm just, I know, but that was everyone's parents, but that was your parents' Lakers history,
saying,
right?
Funny that
they closed the Forum, they opened Staples with Kobe and Shaq, and the next 4 years was like the fucking best. And so to everyone, I think that's our age, it just holds an emotional significance. And because it's exactly what you said, 22 years, L.A., quite frankly, has been blessed and different with this stadium naming shit. I know most cities have some dipshit fucking company that they rotate in and out. Dodger Stadium has been Dodger Stadium forever. The Coliseum has been the Coliseum for fucking ever. The Rose Bowl has been the Rose Bowl since it opened. And it was the Great Western Forum, which I didn't even know was the name of a bank until they took it off of the Forum and it was just the Forum. Bro.
That sounds the Great Western Forum.
That's what I'm saying. It was a perfect name, the Great Western. I literally didn't know it was a bank.
Staples Center is just basic, though. Maybe it was always bad, but you have the memories there. It's nostalgic. I get that.
And it's been for 22 years kicking off with Shaq and Kobe. Some dumb new, you know, the fucking Smoothie King Arena, the fucking Arco Arena, going from the Arco Arena to the Power Balance Pavilion to the Sleep Train Arena. Like, we just have not done that in Southern California. And I know that's snobby to say, but it's also true. I don't want to be like the rest of you. I don't want to be like the rest of you.
We have beaches and mountains.
Listen, bro. Arena naming rights are dumb, and I get the sentimental attachment here, but you know, Staples at its core was dumb. It's an office supply
chain, bro.
The most terrifying team of my life played their home games at a fucking supply chain database software development arena. You know what I mean? Like, that was the scariest, best team I've ever seen in my life, and they played at a fucking database software arena. This shit is all stupid, and I don't understand getting this attached to it, because for one, it's stupid to begin with, and two, you know the shit's gonna get renamed once another big fucking bidder comes along anyway. So,
hey, Staples also has great deals on monitors and has 79 cent alcohol wipes, and they also sell Bounty, bro.
Okay,
bro, the Staples around my way sells couches and flat screens, and I would go in that bitch like, who the fuck is furnishing their crib out of Staples? And then I found out last night, there a lot of people have a lot of sentimental attachment to Staples. I was like, y'all the motherfuckers buying couches out of Staples, huh? What the fuck?
Not to the store. I'm dead serious. I honestly don't know that I've ever spent money at Staples.
It smells like medicine inside of it, okay? It's horrible. That's what you got. Dude, Shaq and Kobe deserved better. That's how you should look at it. And crypto.com, I'm not a big crypto guy. I think it's kind of like, all this shit is just crazy because I'm old to me. But also, it's just like that. I think that's more fun to me than Staples.
No.
Staples, bro?
No.
Staples.
Crypto?
Actual Staples.
Take the crypto shit to the fucking Warriors, bro. You know what I mean?
I hear you. But
name it good looking women and weed arena or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
bro, that doesn't exist, Mike.
Get in and out. Get in and out.
People don't have money.
But the Heat are already named after crypto. They're FTX Arena.
Is that true? I see. And I don't even know. You know, because these arenas.
I'd rather be the Crip. Anybody who would name it something cool like that doesn't have money, Mike. This is the best option.
No, it's not. Because I hate the crypto shit. Like, you're taking down the name of the building since it was built, since Shaq and Kobe were playing there, and you're saying, let's name it after a speculative, limited edition collector's item, masquerading as an investment, masquerading as a currency.
Let's call it Walgreens Wonderville. That's what you want, bro? That's what you want? Bro. The Crip is hard, dog. I don't care what you say. Bro, I know. I get it, Mike. I get it. I swear to God, I get it. I'm nostalgic about the weirdest things. But trip off this, bro. It's a Staples, okay? It's a Staples, man. You need a hug? You need a hug. You're caping for Staples, bro.
I do. Not the company, the building.
I know, but it's still Staples. It was always silly.
Shaq
Let's
Kobe
talk about
better.
Warriors, Nets, Steph.
He just bullied the hell out of me. Shut your
fuck you. I don't want to talk about it anymore. I don't want to talk about it anymore. Right. Teacher, go to the next class.
He just boxed me out.
Let's talk about the Warriors Nets game, though. Goddamn. Did you guys get a chance to catch a game? I feel like
I watched it. I watched the second half. I'm gonna tell you, bro. Like, I don't know what's going on with Steve Nash, Bubba. I tweeted this. It looked like an actual basketball team pulled up to 24 hour and just played a bunch of guys that hopped on the team. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? It's like let KD do KD stuff is your offense. Like that, yeah. Bro. That's not an offense.
It's worlds of difference because you know the Warriors are a fucking finely tuned machine. You see guys
both ends of the court,
ball, right? Yeah, you see guys cutting off ball. You see elevator screens. You see all types of fucking play calling. And then with the Nets, it's hey, give it to Harden or give it to KD and get out the way.
And no sets, not a single set. You know what I mean? It's like it made no sense to me. I'm like, what are you doing? And we talked about this last podcast, and I believe it even more now, bro. Like when Klay comes back, that team is going to be extremely good. I think Steph may have a chance to get his Finals MVP this year, bro. I mean, I don't think it's fool's gold. I don't think so. I think they're really that good. And Steph, oh my God. Oh my God. The man just peeped. It was, dude, he's shimmying first quarter. They're down 4, 28-32. He hits one from like, you know what I'm saying, from my living room.
They knew they were going to win.
I smelled Steph from where he shot it from. You feel me? I felt the sweat fall on my face. It's crazy, man. Like, dog, Steph is, I think that MVP might be his this year, too, at what, 32, 33? We have, like, 6 more years of this. Thank God. You know what I mean? As Bron, is starting to deteriorate, we're seeing this is what old age looks like. You know what I mean? Like, you know, like, missing all these games for abdominal strains and things like that, you know? So, thank God we have a step. I mean, like, we saw that head-to-head, you know. KD is my guy. You know, I think he's the best player in the world when he's at his peak, but... Woo, Steph. It didn't look like it last night, I'll say that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the Warriors are looking scary, man. They found a way to, you know, they've cracked the code on Wiggins, and they've made those 22 points per game that were empty before for him. They've made those mean something now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? They've turned Wiggins into a solid contributor. Klay's going to come back, and Klay is just, like, they're not going to miss a step with trying to get him back adjusted. It's going to be like he was there forever. You know, he's just going to seamlessly fit back in and just going to drop fucking, you know, 5-6 threes a game. You know what I mean? Like, they're going to be tough, man. They are going to, I mean, they're the best team in the league right now. I think they're the favorites to win it all right now, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm not even mad like I should be, I guess. I mean, maybe because the Lakers are just so bad that it's not even competitive.
Yeah. It was different with the Bron, you know, with the Cavs Warriors rivalry, because we were like, this is a championship team that Bron has. You know what I'm saying? This is a team that he can win 2. You know, maybe 3 out of 4 with, if not for the Warriors. You know, looking at this Lakers team, was like, eh, they wouldn't have shit for the Warriors anyway. Who cares?
Nah, they get cooked. They get cooked. Yeah. Like we were on the brother from another podcast, and I said it's like, you know, I said, I don't know if it'll be good, but at least it'll be fun. I lied. It's not even fun. It's not even good enough to be fun. You know what I mean? Like, it's hardly worth watching. And Westbrook with these turnovers, bro, like, it's just the preseason won't matter. Bro, you have the most turnovers in history right now, bro. Breaking records. It mattered, and it matters more now, right? And then when Bron's back, like, you're even less effective. And we had a chance at DeRozan, who, like, instead we get a guy that basically the Venn diagram of what he does is what is really close to, like, there's like, it's like almost like a circle with what Bron does, but he's just less effective. And we could have got DeRozan, a guy good off the ball that would have actually benefited Bron. I don't know, bro. It just doesn't. It doesn't make sense right now. And then him putting up 38.
You saw DeMar's comments that he, quote, assumed that he was going to the Lakers. That's how done of a deal he thought it was.
Yeah, I mean, and also Lonzo putting up like 25 and looking like Lonzo, a
I'm
great
happy
point
for
guard,
Lonzo.
Which he is. You know what I'm saying?
I'm very happy for Lonzo.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm a Lonzo fan. I never was not a Lonzo fan.
And unlike the DeMar thing, because I agree with you, the Lonzo move, that made sense when it, like, that had to happen. You know what I mean? And he was not the dude he is now when he was moved. Like, that was the move that had to be made at the time. But I'm very happy for that dude as a Southern California native who, you know, I got to see him doing crazy shit when he was in 10th grade and up. Like, I'm very happy for his success. The DeMar thing, that's going to look funnier and funnier in the light.
And we were excited because I know, like, I think the thing is, if you have a chance to get Westbrook, and I think we've said this before, you have to take Westbrook because, like, you know what I'm saying? The numbers and all that. And if it didn't work out with DeMar, it would look really silly. But when you look at it, like, how, like, pieces that fit, Westbrook just doesn't fit. You know what I mean? He just doesn't fit. You know what I'm saying? So, and he, turnovers, can't shoot. You know, it's, these are all things that.
Did you guys hear how much Barclays was cheering for Steph last night?
Oh yeah, there are more people yelling MVP for him than for KD.
Are the Nets truly stepping into their role as the Clippers of New York in that? Because this is how the forum used to be when the Clippers played there was everyone would go to Clippers games. If you say the Bulls were in town, the Suns were in town with Barkley, whatever. They'd play the Lakers one night, they'd play the Clippers the next night. You couldn't afford the Lakers tickets if you were like my family, but you could afford the Clippers tickets. So are the Nets just, you know, Steph goes to the Garden, everyone hates him, you know what I mean? It's like, go Knicks. But when you go to the Nets, it's like, oh, Steph's in town. Like, let me stop by. I don't give a fuck about the Nets, but I'll go see Steph.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. New York is a Knicks town. It's always going to be a Knicks town, and it's going to be Knicks fans who get brought out by, certain away teams that come to Nets games. And that's what we saw last night, for sure.
I think it's also just Steph's league. Like, when the Warriors are in town, you go see Steph. You know what I mean? Like, you might not go see your team ever. But if Steph's coming to your team, you go see that team because you're going to see the Warriors. Like, if you're in Atlanta, like my sister, she buys tickets to the Warriors games to see Steph, even though she, you know, she doesn't root for them. You know what I mean? But you, I mean, he's just it's Steph's league. It's his. He's the guy. He's the guy, bro. You know, the league mimicked him. They changed because of him. And, you know, I mean, he's the main attraction. I mean, to me, I'm turning on my TV for Steph. You know what I'm saying? There's nobody I'm turning on my TV more for in the league than him right now.
That's one you just said. One of my favorite things about basketball, because football doesn't play often enough, and baseball, the starting pitchers obviously don't play every game. Basketball is the only sport where, like, it feels like music. You're like, oh, the Warriors are in town. You know what I mean? Like, oh, they're playing the Lakers and the Clippers, and it does feel that way. Like, oh, your favorite musician's in town. Like, I have to go out and see him. Like, it's such a special thing about basketball. I absolutely love. And then, you know, you try and match it up, like, okay, if Bron and AD and Westbrook are healthy, and, you know, the Warriors come in after Klay is healthy, wow, you could catch 5 all-timers, you know, on one court. Shit, like, I love shit like that, man. That's a special thing about the NBA.
It's the Locks versus Dipset.
Warriors were that way.
No, I'm saying before the Warriors. The Warriors have been since 2016.
Before the previous. Before the previous incarnation.
Who was before the Heatles? Who would you go and
the
see?
Celtics.
The Celtics? I don't think
we might have to go all the way back to Kobe, Shaq, man.
I think so. That's what I think. Yeah. I think, yeah. I don't think people were leaving their seats for the Celtics. Celtics were good. I don't think.
In Southern California, people would leave to go to punch the ticket on KG and Paul Pierce.
Yeah, you got, but that's, you know, because y'all
Paul
hate
Pierce is
stand, too, you know.
But Paul Pierce is also a Southern California dude. You know what I mean? So, Lakers for sure. Like, those are the teams where I think who the team is, because it's a team that you would, if you're taking your kid, you'd get there early to watch shoot around.
For sure.
You know what I mean? That you'd be like, we have to see every minute. And Steph is absolutely that way. If you've ever been to a Warriors game, people will show up the second you can get in to watch his full warm up.
Didn't the Warriors like sell tickets where you can have, you know, it's available. You can come in to like watch his shoot around.
Opposite road stadiums do that.
I mean, bro, I mean, come on. Who else's league is it right now? You know what I mean? Like, kids are wearing, you know, Under Armour. He got kids to wear Under Armour basketball shoes.
Stop.
Implausible.
He had them wearing nursing shoes, hooping in. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Shuffleboard shoes.
You know what I mean? They passed up the swoosh to in order to get that Under Armour logo, bro. Like, dog, that dude, he's doing is special.
That guy, Steve Curry, you know, Stephen Curry is out here balling.
Stephen Curry. And unlike Nash, the offense, like we talked about, the offense that Kerr has running, bro, it's beautiful to see. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like, I think we said this before too, but it's like San Antonio, but fun to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's San Antonio with seasoning. You know what I'm saying? Like,
This off-ball movement is incredible.
You mentioned Steve Nash. I just wanted to ask, do we think that Steve Nash, after the game, just immediately took to the streets to try and find someone selling a fake Vax card on the corner for Kyrie?
That offense was great when they had Kyrie, right? It's like, let the players just be themselves. You know,
it works when you have 60% Hall of Famers on the court.
You feel me? When you have one guy, and then, I mean, when you have, like, KD and then a Harden that hasn't looked anything like Harden. He's down.
You have a guy and a half. Metric.
Yeah.
Right.
I love how, like, a couple weeks back when they were talking about how there is talk of New York City lifting this vaccine mandate, like, and they asked Nash, will you welcome Kyrie back if the city lifts the mandate? He's like, oh, hell yeah, absolutely. He's like, we are not taking a moral stand here at all. Let's not get this confused.
this is business.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad. I mean, yeah. I appreciate the honesty. It's always appreciated.
Yeah.
Let's talk about my favorite basketball reel that we got this week, which was what Spencer Dinwiddie dubbed the Kyle Kuzma look, no look pass. That video was so fucking funny. I watched it 3 times in a row of him looking at a dude, passing it, and then looking away and clearly doing a I'm so fucking sweet type of a move.
Sometimes he didn't even look away. He just did the arms of a no-look pass. You know what I mean? Like, his arms made it seem dead at the dude.
Yeah. Like, there's a certain whip when a motherfucker
right,
that he was doing while looking dead at the dude.
He went
right?
across his face like he was looking away, but he was still looking at the dude. Like, he had, you know what I'm saying, the jazz hands like he was doing a no-look, but he wasn't, bro. Like... Right. Tyler, you brought this up in the group chat. We all thought that, you know, he was a too cool for school ass motherfucker, but he's a nerd. You know what I'm saying? That's trying to appear cool. And that's so much more endearing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Those people alone are so much fun generally, you know, once you get them out of the light. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They're not pretending anymore. So, yeah, but it's hilarious. That is, Kuzma would be the guy that has the no look, look pass. You know what I'm saying?
The look, no look pass.
Look, no look.
No look dime from Kuzma. He also had the best tweet of the week when a Cleveland television station captioned him as player who only has a championship because of LeBron James, and he quote tweeted that with, "We have something in common, Cleveland. Nice to meet you."
Zapped. Got their ass.
What the fuck?
Look at Kuzma with the jokey jokes.
Did they, like, that's the lack of awareness. You threw the lob for you to get dunked on. Thank you. What the fuck? Crazy.
Okay. John wanted me to do a dramatic reading of this text message on the podcast. So let me bring it up.
Yes. Horny hours with Jiggins and Jones. More cock talk coming up.
Cock talk sponsored by Trojan Condom.
By Staples. We're Hammer Hill. It's on sale for $1.99.
Come get your rolling chairs and cock talk at your local Staples.
Alcohol wipes for 79 cents.
Fuck you guys. All right. This is a tweet from Jet Set Jade. And every time we spend 30 seconds on the internet, we come away from it thinking, thank God we don't have to live our lives as women on the internet, because men are
the worst, literally. The
disgusting.
Worst. God damn.
She posted a screenshot of a tweet and said, "I'm done fucking with old men who says that." And the tweet said, and I quote, "My mouth watered for you last night. My muscle was throbbed for your womanhood. ..
Womanhood, like, Tyler, you said it though. Womanhood, low key fire, dog.
Hey, I ain't gonna lie. I'm gonna fire this off to the missus a little later. I'm you know, sewing this to the memory bank.
I'm gonna whisper in her ear. I miss your womanhood. I am throbbing for your womanhood at the moment. My muscle is pulsating. My main vein is pulsating for your womanhood.
Oh, I want to know how old this dude is, bro, because I'm an old motherfucker, and I feel like this is beyond my realm of old. Like,
187.
Are you dating a 58-year-old?
He's 830 years old. He saw Moses split the Red Sea, okay? He saw Moses part the Red... Bro, what the... Womanhood? What did he say? I'm salivating.
My mouth was watering.
Her mouth was watery. Hey, but he has good taste. Vagina is delicious. But
It is.
So but I'm womanhood, happy for him.
Womanhood is an analog term for... like, that is a, like... That's MS a horse DOS. And buggy carriage term.
That's pre-internet for sure. That's pre-Wi-Fi. You know, you hear the dial up in the background once you hear womanhood, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's 19th century. I mean, that is like, that's a Shakespearean sonnet term.
What shoes did he have on when he sent that, bro? Definitely hard bottoms.
Yeah, some hard bottoms for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Some fake gaiters, I'm thinking. Womanhood.
A lot
the
of
wind
quick
whispered womanhood.
Those toes were definitely off the ground.
The wind was whispering through the trees of your womanhood.
Whispering. He has to have a lisp too. He has to have a lisp. Your womanhood with throbbing for your womanhood. Good God, bro. His tongue must be huge. I just feel like he's a big tongue person for some reason. Big beefy tongue in his mouth, dog. Talking about womanhood. Good God. What made him think that was it? That was
this,
it?
The wild part of this is ain't no way in hell this is his first time rolling that out. No way. No way. He is a habitual meat pulsating for your womanhood.
Womanhooder.
I know he is. This has probably been in the playbook for like 10, 15 years for this dude.
This
bro.
Is his bat
800. He's probably batting 800 with it, dog.
This is at the top of the playbook. he puts up one when he calls this one.
ISO. He call it ISO, baby. He got it. This is an easy bucket. You feel me?
No. And being that I'm sure he's a habitual offender with this, it has worked before for him. It had to.
He's
you don't go
lot.
Back to it if it doesn't.
It was worked a lot. Mm-hmm. I think the thing is he's probably messing with like a OG. You know what I'm saying? He's probably like 8 to 10 years older than her. You know what I mean? And so like this has worked on my, you know what I'm saying, on the people he's messed with. So he tried it with his young thing.
You're saying that,
and it's really hurtful losing your young thing. I feel
it'll
bad
work,
for
it. Yeah, it'll work with the Etnas, not with the Jades, bro. Like, you know, you got to know your
the Debras.
You got to do the salary
Debras
for it,
the
bro.
The Debras are big womanhood.
Oh yeah, the Barbers will go crazy for that Barbers, shit.
BJs, the BJs will go crazy for the. You know what I mean? But G, if you got a love before your name, she ain't going for womanhood. Okay, Tasha ain't fucking with womanhood. Neither is Latasha, Latoya, none of that. You feel what I'm saying?
You're saying you think this
gotta
is like
the demo. Gotta know the
you're,
demo.
You're
B.
saying you think this is like the dude I sent you in the video who was on that radio show not allowing anyone to disrespect Nipsey. You think he's like,
oh,
I
yeah.
represent this Crip shit
okay,
with
we
womanhood.
You want to talk about that a little bit? I mean, you closer to the Crips than we are, Mike, so you can. Mike just gave us a no.
That's not pod talk. It was a good clip. I retweeted it. It's a good clip. It's important to know the difference. This is not germane to the video clip, but just generally, it's important to know the difference between radio/Twitter shit and real life shit. And there is a difference. And if they really do change the name of the Staples Center to the Crypto.com Arena and all these fucking little tech bros who've recently moved to LA are running around talking about, oh, it's the Crip. People will learn the difference between the Twitter shit and the real life shit, bro. Because it's
sure
a difference.
Do when I told people to take their Kobe's off, my mentors were looking real different. It wasn't Indiana out here, baby. It was in Indiana in my mentions, okay?
A difference between Southern California and other places is that the real, real, real ones fuck with the Lakers and Dodgers out here, bro.
That's I learned how close the Lakers are to the city. Like, if you disrespect the Lakers, you disrespect in L.A., you feel me? Disrespect Southern Cal, you know what I'm saying? So
What was funny was watching when the Lakers won the bubble championship, the impromptu celebrations that happened around Staples Center. And, you know, at that time, we were still fairly early in the pandemic, right? So there's a lot of the, like, well, the people breaking the the quarantine rules, the stay-at-home orders, those are like redneck white people or whatever. And it was like, these are not redneck white people.
These are them ones, bro. These are them ones.
These are people with ATVs that they keep in the garage for no reason other than maybe the Lakers will win a championship.
And they would jump the shit out of COVID, okay? Foot and fist to COVID. You feel what I'm saying?
Just fucking rallies and donuts, you know, right. On main streets at fucking 10 o'clock at night. It was the best. All right. Let's talk about Marcus Thompson's dynasties. We're finishing it up. We got the last three chapters, which is the King Dynasty. Very fitting, actually, for what we've been talking about. The Steph Curry Warriors and the Near Dynasties. Tyler, do you want to... I just want to say again, Tyler, great pick, bro.
Thank you, man. I mean, shouts to Marcus, because Marcus is the homie for real. You know what I'm saying? And this is a great fucking concept, so...
Did I send you guys a picture of Vincent? Marcus sent Vincent a signed copy of the book, and it had a really nice inscription in there for him. And Vincent absolutely flipped the fuck out. Like, he's been showing everyone. When Tyler and JJ come over to work, he shows them the book and the inscription, and then he points at the name, and then the name on the cover of the book. He's like, it's the guy who wrote the book. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I have this and you don't, okay?
Right, that's makes,
you
know right, right, right. It's cool, man. It's cool. He's a really good dude for that.
Bro, I can't imagine, as someone who was, you know, an 8-year-old bookworm myself, I can imagine a guy who wrote a book that I love telling me that he appreciated me reading it. You know what I mean? Like, that would have been huge for me at that age, bro. Huge.
But who babysat Vinny? Can you name, like, the list of Hall of Famers or future Hall of Famers that have babysat him? Like, his life
been great. He's grown up in the Long Beach sports world. So, you know, he...
In the Garabasio sports world. Let's be honest, bro. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, he's been blessed by his time and places. Growing up. But yes, he's everyone from Juju to Biggie to fucking Misty May Trainer has... sat with Vinny for a couple hours while I did my job. You know what I mean?
Too far.
FanDuel Sportsbook wants you to get the most out of every NFL game day. That's why they're giving everyone a $10 risk-free bet every week. All you have to do is bet a same-game parlay bet with three legs or more, and if your bet doesn't win, FanDuel will pay you back up to $10. I am going to be watching that Patriots-Falcons game on Thursday Night Football. I think the Patriots are all the way back. Mac Jones is humming, so I am going to build a same-game parlay where I'm taking the Patriots to cover. I am taking the over on the total points, and I am taking all of the player props on Mac Jones because I think he's just ascending to another level. But same-game parlays are not the only reason I love betting on all the NFL action with FanDuel Sportsbook. They've got fast payouts in as little as 2 hours. It's easy to use, safe and secure. It's America's number one sportsbook. There's no feeling like nailing a same-game parlay bet, so lock in your bet today on FanDuel Sportsbook and get up to $10 back if your bet doesn't win. New to FanDuel Sportsbook, they're also offering a risk-free $1,000 bet if you prefer that. Just sign up with promo code JNJ, and if your first bet loses, you get up to $1,000 back in site credit. That's promo code JNJ. Make sure you type it out as J&J. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, West Virginia, or West Virginia. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddy as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storr on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So let's talk about the King Dynasty, Tyler.
So yes, you know, this is a very unique chapter. It's a unique chapter because, of course, you know, the book is dealing with, you know, dynasties, the 10 teams that, you know, shape the modern NBA. But, you know, you cannot leave LeBron out of this discussion. And you know, he gave LeBron a chapter here because he, you know, he talks about, you know, besides the whole how LeBron shifted the league, you know, the whole player empowerment, that you cannot leave him out of the discussion when discussing finals and championships. He's went to 10 of them. You know what I mean? He went to fucking 8 straight. You know, he's got 4 rings. So, yes, he's a dynasty into himself. And it goes back to what I've said before, that we discussed how Bron is a player system. You know what I mean? Like, when he comes to your team, you're going to play basketball in his image and his design. So, you know, it was a really good chapter that touched on that. And like I said, you cannot discuss dynasties without discussing LeBron. If you're a focus of the discussion, as this book is, it's kind of, you know, how they impact and shape.
I think it's really interesting because I totally agree with his pick of teams and of using Bron as a team here. And I just think something that became clear in this chapter to me is there's a difference between being an all-time great player and being a dynasty all-time great player. And I agree with John. I mean, Kevin Durant has taken the mantle over as the best player in the world, but it's different. It's the history of the NBA is this book. It was Jordan, then it was Kobe and Shaq and Tim Duncan, and then it was Braun and the Steph Curry Warriors. Like, and as good as KD is right now, he's just the guy who was maybe the best player that year, right, for Steph Curry's Warriors. And as good as Klay Thompson is, he's Scottie Pippen to Steph Curry on Steph Curry's Warriors. Like, that is the way that this shit will be thought of in 60 years, whether that's fair or not. And it's interesting when you look at the league now to think about the Giannis's all the other great players, and we'll just see. But you had the way the NBA is, you have to win a couple of those in order to end up in this book. You know what I mean? And I totally agree with him. Like, this is how we talk about and remember basketball, you know, passed down through the generations.
The thing is, KD has won a couple. He won a couple MVPs with that too. And it's still Steph's team. And that is so interesting. We're the best player on the team for two of the three chips. You know what I mean? It's not the guy. He's just not. You know what I mean?
And if anyone said the KD Warriors, you'd be like, what the fuck are you talking about?
We'd be John right? D. McDonald. Yuck. You know what I'm saying? You know? Throw up emoji. So, yeah, it's wild. But, yeah, I mean.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you know, KD, if we're talking about the Steph Warriors, KD went to the house that Steph built. There's no way around that. You know what I mean? Nope. Like, KD was the best player on those teams, but that was Steph's. That team was built by Steph. That team was built in Steph's image and Steph's strength. You know?
It's interesting how people have looked at Steph. And he talked about this in the Steph Warriors, too. It's like how people, you see kids out here shooting from deep now, you know, thinking they can imitate him because they think what they could do with what Steph does. But I think, you know, Steph's talents, like that he came out the womb being able to shoot. There is something in his genetic makeup that makes him as good as we could all three of us could work twice as hard as Steph did. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying he doesn't work hard as
and
hell,
be half
you know?
As good.
And it'd be half, maybe, right. Maybe, you know what I mean? So there's something in his makeup, but we're trying to imitate that. And that's what's really right. Interesting me too as well.
The difference is because he's 6'3", it presents the illusion of light skin.
You know, he got that baby face. You know what I'm saying? You know, he looks like he's not a guy. You know, he shouldn't be a guy. You know, but there's something in his makeup that he was going to be this. You know?
Yeah. So and it's like, you know, we've heard that narrative about Steph being an underdog, and I do not buy into that at all because you're 6'3". You know, you came. You're the son of an NBA player. Mm-hmm. You had all types of
the
opportunities and trainings and camps and all that. You're not an underdog, but I do think Steph is an overachiever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he's an underdog, but he's definitely an overachiever. None of us looked at this kid and was like, this is going to be the second best point guard ever. This is going to be the guy who changes the NBA. This is going to be the best shooter of all time. This is going to be a two-time back-to-back MVP, one of those MVPs unanimous. This guy is going to lead a team to 73 wins. None of us saw that for Steph. Not a single soul. Steph probably didn't even see that for Steph. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, he's not an underdog at all, but he is for sure an overachiever.
No one who grew up with a gate around their house is a fucking underdog to me ever. I don't give a fuck.
Like, you had a driveway.
You grew up as a millionaire son of an NBA player. You have the same job your dad had. You're just better at it. That's not, I mean, it's not an underdog. Yeah, I totally agree he's an overachiever. But, yeah, the underdog shit. Some teacher, I think in Oakland, wrote him a letter asking him to come talk to her kid saying that. It was like, because you're not as big as the other dudes, every kid thinks they can be you, and there's a little bit of a danger in that. You know, no one in Southern California thought they were going to be Shaq.
Right,
you know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
You knew you weren't Shaq, but you can trick yourself into thinking you could be Steph.
It's really funny that we saw him at Davidson doing those things against the best players in the nation during the tourney, and we just assumed he'd be 14 point per game player, you know what I mean?
But he's spot up shooter.
He's better. You know what I'm saying? Like he's better, not than the 15 points than what we saw at Davidson. That's extremely abnormal to me. You know what I'm saying? So I didn't think, but it's wild. He's definitely overachiever.
Some guys, and this is an interesting phenomenon in sports to me, some guys succeed at a certain level at every level of competition. We had a baseball player out of Lakewood near here, you know, that plays in the league that all the Long Beach high schools play in. Second team all-league player his whole career. I don't think he was ever on an all-star team as a youth player. Goes to college, second team all-conference player. Mm-hmm. Hits like 290 mm-hmm. in high school, hits 290 in the NCAA. Gets drafted by the Giants. Okay, he's in single A, he's in double A. Hits 290. Second team, you know, and then gets called up to the major leagues, hits 290 in the major leagues.
That's weird.
Wins a World Series ring with the Giants. It's just, there's just some dudes like that where it's like, I know exactly who I am. I'm at my level. So for Steph, He's playing YMCA ball or whatever rich kids play that's, you know, the better version of YMCA ball. He's playing NCAA basketball. He's playing the NBA. He's, I'm going to do this shit to whoever's guarding me, and it is what it is.
He makes it the Steph Curry show wherever he goes. You know what I mean? Like, but it's like him hitting like 350 in college and then 400 in the NBA. You know what I mean? Like, usually we see guys that'll be like, they'll 500 in high school and they'll go down, you know what I mean? To like norm, you know what I mean?
Like, but Lonzo. Lonzo had what I would think of as a very traditional, like, unstoppable in high school, set a bunch of records in college, but you could see that the shot wasn't, you know, quite at the college level, and then got to the NBA and realized, oh, I have to completely deconstruct this and put it back together. Steph, it was just this weird, you know, straight-up arc. Absolutely. Really, really, really unique. Let's talk about the near dynasties. Tyler, what sort of jumped out at you? What interested you the most from this chapter?
I do think the Rockets probably don't get enough credit. I think that, you know, and Marcus said it himself, you know, they're a victim of winning those rings, you know,
without MJ.
MJ wasn't there for a season. And when MJ came back, for a season, right. But I think if you look at the Rockets, if you look at the style of ball they played spacing, shooting in and out basketball, which is kind of what the NBA is about today. Except NBA teams really don't go through the center offensively anymore, you know, for the most part. But, you know.
They also don't have Olajuwon.
Yeah, exactly, because they don't have Olajuwon, right?
If they had Olajuwon, they'd figure it out, you know what I mean?
For sure. But they play ball in a very, you know, modern way. Like I said, the spacing, the shooting, and the inside-out ball, like that was fucking, you know, that's modern-day basketball that we were seeing 25 years ago.
I think the Sixers don't get enough credit. And I think Dr. J in particular, you know what I mean? Like 2020 in college, I'm looking at the numbers he put up in the NBA. I'm like, what the hell? You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew he was a guy. I knew that, but I hadn't looked at the stats. The stats blew me away how incredible he was. But he got caught up in between, like, you know, some real great teams, you know, great dynasties. And they had some incredible teams too that they underachieved. I think they blew a 3-1 lead against, I forget who it was, but they blew a 3-1 lead in the conference finals before. So, but Dr. J, like how and how the teams that the Sixers had, and how we never talk about them. We don't even talk about Dr. J's numbers. We just show his highlights. We show that up and under. You know what I'm saying? We show how smooth he was, how cold he was, but we don't actually show the how he really was a baller, and he put up incredible numbers. It just didn't happen a lot of times in certain some of the big moments. But they had some squads.
Sure. And I've said before, I think Moses Moen is perhaps the most underrated player in NBA history. Like, he was a three-time MVP, you know, a guy who was getting you 27 and 13 in his peak, busted Kareem's ass for a ring and a sweep, and we don't talk about the guy at all. Like, I really think Moses is perhaps the most underrated player in NBA history.
I think Dr. J is probably the older basketball player who, the people that I know who grew up watching him, there's the biggest discrepancy between how they feel about him and how younger people know about him. And I don't know if it's a Long Beach thing or what, but the people who are like 15 years, 20 years older than us, they talk about Dr. J. You know, Michael Jordan, they're still having GOAT conversations about Michael Jordan and Dr. J, just in terms of the best player they've ever seen. And I think growing up when we did, it's just not what I heard, you know, at the time necessarily. So here's a question. Because I totally agree with Marcus about the Rockets and the fact that they won their championships, you know, not against the full Jordan Bulls. Do you think, like when I was a kid, I thought the Bulls would have won 8 championships in a row. But the older I get and the more you see how human beings and their emotions, like that's a part of the equation on these dynasties, I don't think that that's possible. Like, do you think that they would have won both of those championships? Because if the Rockets had beaten the Bulls for their first championship, I think we'd talk about that team completely differently. But I disagree with the cultural assumption that, well, the Bulls would have just, you know, like won no matter what because of Michael Jordan.
Jordan retiring probably gave the team a reprieve. You know, like Tyler talks about how nobody was happy on that Bulls team. You know what I'm saying? They got, you know, 3 years. A year and a half without MJ, and then another 3 years. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I think that kind of gave him reprieve. Like, dude, I 8 years straight playing that, like, with that type of, you know, with that dude on your head like that, I don't know if they would have stayed together. You know what I mean? That might have been important for him to retire. But, But yeah, I mean, yeah, that we're talking about the Rockets, totally different. They at least won one of them against MJ for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Jordan himself said that he retired after the first three-peat because he was drained. He was mentally and physically drained. He just didn't think he could do it anymore. So I do not see the Bulls, you know, running off eight straight. Hell no. No way in hell.
It's interesting. It's an interesting kind of a trick almost to pull on the Rockets. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. That it's like, I'm going to devalue your championship by not being there. It also shows what a psycho he was, by the way, that he's like, let me go play minor league baseball because I'm drained, which is arguably the most grueling thing you could do to yourself in pro sports in America.
I mean,
let me go chill out playing minor league baseball. I know he had a nicer hotel room than everyone else, but that's not a fun life to live. You know what I mean?
Right. It's also a clear case of big guy bias. You know, big guys do not get their credit the way that we give it to, you know, smaller guys, the wings and guards, because like if we're discrediting Akeem because we didn't get to see him matched up against Luke Longley when he went through Ewing and Shaq to get these two rings, right? Like that's madness. Like I said, it's big guy bias. We always lean more towards the wings and the guards in these discussions rather than the big guys when discussing greatness.
You were talking about, players not getting enough love. I think James Worthy is one of those players too, man. I think he's up there with Moses Malone where like we just don't talk about Worthy enough. You know what I mean? He was crazy, but you put in a lot of playing, like, you know, triple A ball, or was he playing single A ball? Whatever.
I don't even know what.
Whatever. Yeah, minor league. I saw him play for the Birmingham Barons. You put in a lot of heavy weight on playing. He struck out like 17 times straight at one point, bro.
That's
like,
stressful too, though, and especially if you have the mentality that he did. That's what I'm saying. It's like baseball. It's like failure drenched, and minor leagues are, you know, the money obviously doesn't mean anything to him, but it's like. You get drafted and congratulations, you're the best high school baseball player in the country. You get to be on a fucking bus, you know, 250 days a year for $10,000 a year or whatever. Like it's crazy. And he was like, let me get away from the bright lights of the NBA and go grind it out in double A fucking baseball. It's crazy.
In Birmingham.
We had the Knoxville Stars when I was living in Tennessee and I ran to watch him play. And I remember like, by the sixth inning, I was like, can we go home, Dad? He had already struck out like two or three times. I'm like, yeah, man, I've seen enough. I'm going to watch David Justice, you know what I mean? Or like,
right,
you know,
right,
a real one, you know?
All right, that's all the time we've got. Thank you to, thanks to Marcus for writing a great book. I really enjoyed it. It was a good break from learning about the crushing weight of how horrible American history is to dip our toes in with a basketball book. So
and animations like that.
Yes,
was,
and like, cool. Know. Oh, look at this drawing of Steph Curry.
Hey, I want to say this real quick. Arthur Joffa, I'm getting my artsy nerd shit, but Arthur Joffa dropped the ID Mag. He like edited a whole ID Mag. I don't know if y'all hip to Arthur Joffa, but I get high a lot and watch his stuff and like cry. It's beautiful, beautiful shit. But like cop that. And if you aren't hip to Arthur Joffa, check his stuff out, man. It's dope. But I think that's just so cool, bro.
What exactly is an ID Mag?
ID Magazine. It's a magazine.
That's the name of it?
He edited it.
Type of magazine.
But Arthur Joffa is like a visual artist. And he has like these archives of, you know, visuals and he puts them together and makes these incredible like moving pieces of work or art, but like sometimes you can watch them on YouTube and stuff like that, or like on the computer. But I've seen them in a couple of museums, and you know what I'm saying? I like salivate. I'm like, my main vein is throbbing. You know what I mean? watching his work, but no, he's I think he's one of the best visual artists of our era, of our time personally. But tap in with that. It's fire.
All right, we'll see you guys on Monday, right? Yes, this is the midweek episode. Yeah, we'll see you on Monday. Bye.
I'm there with you. Bye.
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 It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff.
Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.